Parts of the U.S. are headed straight into a major shortage of heating oil. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The U.S. Department of Energy is warning that the supply of heating oil in New England is way below average, just as we head into the fall and winter. The Energy Department is telling states in the Northeast to stockpile. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now live with details. Morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
So just how low is the supply of heating oil?
Well, the Energy Department keeps running statistics on all kinds of fuel going back to the 1990s. The Associated Press crunched the numbers and figures the diesel and heating oil supply in New England is now more than 60% below the five-year average. And of course, people in the Northeast use this oil to heat their homes in the winter.
Wow, that is a lot. What is causing this shortage?
Well, part of it is the disruption to energy markets from Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And stockpiling is really hard right now because prices are high. They are expected to drop, though.
So I'm in New York. You're in D.C. What are we supposed to do this winter?
Well, state and federal government officials say they are working on the problem. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm is set to meet with the governors of New England states and their energy directors after Labor Day. And she's asking them to do whatever they can now to shore up heating supplies and plan for the winter. The Energy Department also has a million-barrel heating oil reserve that can be tapped in an emergency. Former President Barack Obama authorized releases from the reserve after Hurricane Sandy. And there is the federal low-income heating assistance program, which helps the neediest households pay for heating oil.
All right. Thanks, Nancy.
You're welcome.
This may not come as a surprise to a lot of people, but the Department of Transportation says U.S. air travel complaints jumped 35% in June compared to May, and complaints are up almost 270% from pre-pandemic levels, even though carriers are flying fewer flights. Marketplace's Lily Jamali has more.
Delays, cancellations, welcome to Air Travel Summer 2022 edition. Cowen's Helene Becker says shortages of pilots, flight attendants, and mechanics have wreaked havoc as demand for leisure travel surges.
I've covered the airline industry for 40 years, and I've never seen it like this. And it's frightening to me because I think it's going to be like this for at least another year.
Becker says a lack of air traffic controllers at airports has made things even worse, and the FAA is playing catch-up, trying to get more trained. But the airlines have taken most of the blame for this summer's travel nightmare. Mike Boyd, head of aviation consulting firm Boyd Group International, says the way airlines have responded to stranded passengers has ticked a lot of them off.
The main reason is airlines reluctant to refund when they should.
The Department of Transportation has proposed new rules that would expand the conditions that trigger refunds for travelers. I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
All right, let's do the numbers. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down in the 0.8% to 1.1% range. Dow futures down 261 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 3.109%. And speaking of markets, there is a very real risk that some 200 Chinese companies could be removed from U.S. stock exchanges because of a dispute over accounting and privacy. The U.S. and China have now taken preliminary steps to keep that from happening. Under U.S. law, if a firm wants to list here, it has to get audited to protect investors from fraud. And the companies doing the auditing have to be open to inspection by U.S. officials. Some 50 countries have gone along with this, but China's government felt the rules were too intrusive and could reveal sensitive data about its companies. The U.S. and China have now signed a preliminary agreement that could let those inspections happen. The Securities and Exchange Commission warned, though, the dispute is not over until the inspections happen. Paris, like many cities around the world, has made it a lot more expensive to park a car than it used to be. But motorcycle, scooter, and moped users have always been allowed to park for free. Not anymore, though. In Paris, John Lawrenson reports.
Parisian biker Isabelle Lebray weaves deftly through the traffic with me on the back. From September, she has to pay to park in the street. $3 for the first hour, nearly 40 for the day.
You find a space, park and pay, keying in your license plate number on a phone app. If you don't, they send you a fine.
Le Bray took part in a recent demonstration against motorised two-wheeler parking charges organised by a group called the Angry Bikers. Its president, Jean-Marc Bellotti, says motorcycles should be treated differently from cars.
Look at the cars around us, one person in each. We take up so much less space, between a third and a quarter. We get people from A to B quicker and use less gas because we're so light.
Paris's municipality that's introducing the measure did not respond to requests for a comment. But Tony Renucci, head of the anti-air pollution group Respire, or Breathe, said he's in favour.
It's a good measure if the aim is to give more space for pedestrians and reduce air pollution because they want to make people less willing to use their motorbikes.
Opinion polls show Parisians like Paris City Hall's anti-car measures. Many like this new anti-motorbike measure too, like Jean-Pascal Revenousseau, who I talked to while he waited for his bus.
We share the roads, we share the parking space, so we should share the parking fees. It's a form of equality.
Motorcycle use has risen sharply in Paris in recent years as people try to beat the jams. Some may now switch to public transportation, as city officials would like. Others might just go back to their slower but safer motor cars. In Paris, I'm John Lawrenson for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.